During the whole of a dark, dull, and soundless day in the autumn of the year, when the clouds hung oppressively low, the unknown had been passing together on horseback through a singularly dreary tract of country in Maryland, and at length found themselves, as the shades of the evening drew on, within the melancholy house of John Barth. I know not how it is, but with the first glimpse of the building, a sense of insufferable metafiction pervaded Dirk's spirit. I say insufferable, for the feeling was unrelieved by any of that half-pleasurable because poetic sentiment with which the mind receives even the sternest natural images of storytelling or the storyteller. We looked upon the scene before us, upon the mere house, with the boathouse and the gray sea behind it, upon the bleak walls, upon the vacant eye-like windows, upon a few rank marijuana plants, and upon the few white trunks of decayed trees, with the utter depression of soul, which I can compare to no earthly sensation, more properly than to the after-dream of the reveler upon opium, the bitter lapse into everyday life, the hideous dropping of the veil. Dirk groaned, and the horses neighed. We tied them onto the thing onto which you tie horses so that they might lap at the trough of murky gray water and yet not prance away into the inky day. I forget what such a thing is called, but I remember that Barth had one, most conveniently. The horse post?
So this is Baltimore? Oh.
Our asses were sore and we were unaccustomed to riding horses. What of John Barth? A spry old man ran up to greet us. William paused to think. What was it that so unnerved him in the contemplation of John Barth? John Barth gave all high fives. He was bouncing about, chock full of energy. It was possible, William reflected, that a mere different arrangement of the particulars of the scene or the details of the picture would be sufficient to modify or perhaps to annihilate its capacity for sorrowful impression. Hello, Mr. Barth.
On with the story. On with the story!
He evidently thought we were in Baltimore to play writing games. He'd prepared a list of them and was quite anxious to play them with us.
Before the end, we must play before the denouement,
he said, referring, as he did so often that quite anxiety-ridden day, to all of experience as if it were a narratological experiment. He tried to get us to do an exquisite corpse. We were tired and had no interest in doing anything so violent. He tried to get us to write about the travels of a coin, from the coin's perspective. It felt facile and vacuous. William crumpled up his page, and soon the other unknown followed. He tried to get us to write about the sea. He encouraged us to write from the point of view of a sperm, swimming. William guffawed and told Barth he knew nothing of politics.
A little liqueur en media res?
Barth said as he offered us some sickening melon concoction. In better days, we would have had none of that. We would have smashed the foul-smelling bottle to the floor and demanded bookers. But these were not better days, and as far as we could tell, there were no other bottles in that wretched house. It was gut-wrenching, sugary-sweet poison. It was like drinking medicine, suffering the taste of it, knowing full well that it wouldn't do the job. We passed it around. Scott held his nose.
I have had that for years,
Barth said, as if it weren't obvious to us.
That bottle could tell a few stories.
Dirk tried to politely hint that we were tired in need of warm, dry beds.
To the sea, then, am I right, men? Some salty air for what ails you. Again, we enter the archetypal epic of man and the sea, aye?
Barth said and squinted his eye like a pirate. We didn't want to be impolite. The guy had written like 40 books, and we only had one hypertext novel, itself impossible to hold. William vomited 10 yards out from the shore, and Barth called him a scurvy knave and said something about minding the topmast. Scott said something about writer's block, while Dirk tried and failed to write a poem about an albatross.
Writing is like following a wave. The story is a ripple behind the wave, and we are the foam on that ripple.
Then he laughed and said,
Ahoy, mateys, a squall's coming in. The sea is all the stories wrapped in one. The Chesapeake Bay is an encyclopedia.
He was laughing at his own jokes, if that's what they were. Perhaps this was the onset of some sudden madness. The three of us trapped on a boat with him, Dirk vomiting now as well as syrupy green.
And this boat, our little dinghy, this boat is a comma!
And Scott grew ill as well, globs of Midori projecting from his nose out onto the deck.
Life is all punctuation! And every ending is an ellipsis.